it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday, where we take as a team and we take some time and answer your questions, because there's a lot that come in every week. So we've had some great questions coming this week. Also, we want to take just a moment. We want to thank our partners. Yes. If it wasn't for you, we would not be on the air right now. So it is our partners that pray for us, support us financially, to make the studio possible. We're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're everywhere. So you name it, we're on there. So that's because of our partners. So, guys, thank you. You know who you are. Thank you for what you do. You make this possible. We're going everywhere. We're being really good stewards. We are.
Yes, we are. And just so everyone knows, you know, there's one thing about podcasts that are different with like radio shows and stuff like that. You have more editing and stuff like that. Our warehouse where we actually shoot and our offices where we shoot this podcast, we're right next to a – what would you call it? It's a carnival arts where people hang – like kids hang from like ribbons from the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And the
like Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, like Cirque du Soleil. Yeah. So – if you hear a scream, it's not because anybody hit the concrete floor.
Yeah, we didn't slap anybody. Nobody fell.
Yeah, there's just a bunch of children. Yes, and they're not in this building. They're in another building.
They have a very padded floor.
Yes, that floor is very padded from what I understand.
No, I've been there. I've seen it.
I'd like to go over and try that, though. I think a picture of me hanging from ribbons from the ceiling with
I'll pass that. No.
We might have to. We don't want to see you in traction later. All right, Joe, let's get this started. You often talk about the scriptures and say, in him, in whom, in Christ, and talk about them being important. Can you explain?
Yeah, it's who we are. Once you get born again, the Bible says we're taken out of the kingdom of darkness, placed in the kingdom of God's dear Son. We've been translated. So I now belong to Jesus. I'm not belong to the devil anymore. I'm going to live forever in heaven. I'm born again. My name is written in the book of... My name is written in a book in heaven, and so God has a plan for my life. He promised to order my steps, direct my paths, guide all truth. So who are you? Well, I'm a new creature in Christ. What is that? Well, if you read through the Bible, there's about 133 scriptures in him, in whom, and in Christ. I tell every believer, you need to take a few days and take some time, get a pencil and a pad and a concordance to sit down, and you can do it on your phone, and go through all the scriptures in Christ. That's who you are. Who are you? I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm not me anymore. I've been bought with a price. Jesus shed blood, paid for me, and got me born again. It's my faith in what he did, not what I did. And so I don't do anything. It's my faith in him and his work. So I'll just read a few. We got a list of them here because people write in and say, we'll email you a whole list. So right. If you write into Joe McGee Ministries, we can send you the whole list, email it to you, and you can print it off yourself. So this is just like three basic ones right here. I'm going to start with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. How'd you get born again? I made Jesus the Lord of my life. How'd you do that? I prayed Romans 10, 9, and 10. If anybody believes that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for you and that God raised from the dead, if you believe that and confess that with your mouth, you're born again. How'd you get born again? I believe, confess something in my mouth. That's how I got saved. I didn't see a burning bush. Three angels didn't show up in my bedroom and sing. Now, I believe in great things happening, but it's a real simple process to get born again. So it says this, old things have passed away, all things have become new. What's new? I'm new. No, I know you. I knew you when you were a kid. I knew you when you used to work with you. No, that guy died. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm new. I know I look the same, same face, but I am a new person. So I give you this one, 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him... You are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. Who are you? Well, I'm a Christian. I'm in Christ now. He died for me. His blood paid for me. Got me born again. So you can read through all 133 scriptures, and it would really bless you. Who are you? I'm a new creature in Christ. I know who you are. No, you don't. I died. I'm a new creature in Christ. I still got flesh. Every day I get to repent. Every day I get to forgive. I'm still growing in the grace and knowledge of God. But I'm a brand new person. My name's written in a book in heaven. I'm going to heaven when I pass away. I believe I'll be here when the trumpet sounds, personally. So you just need a few scriptures, and it'll boost you. Just read them, and it'll boost you.
We have like four or five, like Joe said, we have four or five pages of the scriptures. That was only three or four. We have, there's such small print. Yeah, we have pages and pages of those, which is great because some people don't really understand how to read the Bible, you know, or how to study the Bible. But if you go through those scriptures, that is talking about who you are. And there's nothing more important than you knowing who you are in God. And we'd be happy to if you just send it mail at Joe McGee Ministries or go on the website too. You can contact us that way. But mail at joemcgeeministries.com and we can ask for it. Just say, I would like to have those in him scriptures. Yes. And we'll just send you a PDF and you can print them out yourself. So.
Now, I grew up in two great denominations. But every Sunday, the same people are getting saved. Ben and Bob's getting saved.
I was one of those people that got saved every Sunday.
And so what happens once you get born again, if you get in the Word of God, you realize, I don't have to go to the altar again. I've already been saved.
Well, in my church, though, they made you feel like between the last Sunday and this Sunday, you were the flames of hell were flicking the bottom of your feet.
You better be glad Sunday comes one every 7 days. You've gone to hell for sure.
I remember one time I was walking through the mall, and I lost my mom. And I said to my friend, let's call Sister Seashells, because if she answers the phone, we'll know the rapture didn't take place. We're okay.
Winning and left behind. And there would be so many things that would scare you, but you got to realize who you are.
Yeah. Well, it took me a while to get there.
I know that I used to get scared when we go to the mall. And this is going to date me so bad. Spencer's Gifts. Spencer's Gifts
was an evil store.
A hellhole. Yes. I mean, seriously, my mom.
But I could see you in there, Mike.
No, you couldn't. No, I couldn't go in there. Actually, I went in there one time. I was probably 17 years old. I left and felt like I had to take a shower.
Yeah.
Because I felt so
condemned. It got on me.
I felt so condemned.
The further you walk back in the store,
it gets worse and worse. Woo. It was just weird.
You know, it's amazing. If you look back, that was a really bad store.
For the 70s and 80s, yeah. I hadn't really thought about it. There was junk in there that like kids weren't supposed to see. But my mom, man, she would walk us way around. Like we go all the way around the mall trying to escape not walking by it. And of course, you know, as a kid, you know, you're not supposed to look. So you're kind of looking out the corner, hoping mom don't see you look out of the corner. I just looking at the front of the store.
It is true. I mean, we were raised and they were doing movies like A Thief in the Night and, all those scare you to heaven. And I remember remember where they had the guillotine and they said, deny him, deny him.
Thief
and the guy goes, no. And then he finally denies him. And then, and so, you know, like, I'm like,
you're going to hell forever. Happy story. Merry Christmas. The end.
So, but
let's go get some popcorn.
So that was so in me that it took me a while to get these scriptures to renew my mind from that bad thinking that really wasn't biblical.
If you mess up, you've lost favor with God.
It's like,
no, you mess up, you repent.
And if you look through the Bible, all of God's people that he uses the most were very flawed, normal
people. There were
no
perfect people. They didn't exist.
Surprisingly flawed.
Well, when I was in the Pentecostal church, and I've been married for several years. I'm trying to get my life right. Well, I got water baptized. I was water baptized at age 12 in the Baptist church. I thought, probably leaked out. Let's do it again. And so I've been sitting there about 3 weeks. I told the pastor, hey, I want to get baptized again today. He said, you got baptized 3 weeks ago. Yeah, I want to do it again today. Okay, go back and change. And so by the end of the month, by the end of August, there's another son said, hey, I want to get water baptized again. He said, what? Yeah. Because in my mind, I thought it's leaked out. It didn't stick. And so I got water baptized again. So the 1st of October, it's a great month. Beautiful leaves starting to fall. I went to the altar again. I said, Pastor, I need to go up. I need to get water baptized again. No, son, you got it. No more water baptism. You got it. It's stuck. And so somebody finally explained, it's not how many times you go under. You know, it's what happened one time. Do you believe in the blood of Jesus paid for your sins? Yes. It was a one-time deal. It's paid for. You don't get resaved and resaved and resaved and resaved. You've been born again. You still got flesh. You're still growing. You're still falling. The Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day they get back. You still scooped over your lower lip every now and then. What do? I jump up. I spit the dirt back out. I either repent, I forgive, and I get moving again. I'm done. I'm good.
You know, a little bit off the beaten path here, but there is this church that does the most beautiful service. And what they do is they make a big deal when you're getting baptized. And they say, they do a little testimony of the person on film telling what has happened to their lives when they got born again. And so then the person says at the end of it, now today I'm going public. And so each person says that today I'm going public. And you are so excited for them by the time it crescendos and they actually do. And then they have people that have mentored them on and have helped them through the process get up and give them a gift to welcome them for going public. And I'm telling you, you're just crying your eyes out.
That's cool.
And it is the most beautiful celebration of what that really means. And I just, I love that. Every time I think of water baptism, I think of that. It was just one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
You got baptized in the tub, in the creek, or in the pond behind the house. It's the real thing.
Yes. Yes. Yep. And it is the beginning of great changes. Yes. And sometimes, though, you got to get those words in you and renew your mind of the bad teaching you've been taught or no teaching. Sometimes I think it's easier to just have no teaching than have to overcome.
Get rid of the old stuff.
Yeah. So, but
every now and then you got to drain the septic tank.
But either way, God wants you to have a victorious life in Him.
Yes.
And so if you want these scriptures, just email us, like Mike said, mail at joemcgeeministries.com.
Well, the devil's the accuser of the brethren. He's going to remind you that Jesus come. You've sinned. You've lost. No. I'm in Him and whom and in Christ. I'm born again.
Yes.
And it'll help you empty the septic tank of your mind.
Grace, get mercy and help.
That's right.
Thank you.
I can run up under God's armpit right now.
How come we armpits and septic tanks?
I love
how do we get there?
I love
it's the South, brother. It is the South. We still got the South in our mouth.
Woo!
All right. Listen, Mike, Joe, I hear people say, don't worry about all the crazy that is happening in the world. God is in control. Now, Joe, Mike, is that true? Also, what do you mean when you've said that God isn't allowed to do things on this earth?
Mike, I'll let you jump right in.
Deep water. Okay. I'll explain it, and then you can explain what I said.
Yes.
When Adam fell, it goes back to the Garden of Eden. When Adam fell, he gave his authority. He was given authority by God to take care of this earth.
Yes.
He was given control of the earth. In fact, he wasn't God, but he was like a little g.
Yes, he was.
Small little g God.
Named the animals, of this earth. For everything and
God,
everybody.
Man, and God wasn't doing anything in this earth.
Nope.
Everything he did through Adam because he gave Adam the responsibility and
it's
he gave him the authority with this earth.
Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue.
Right.
Take dominion, son.
He gave
in
it.
Genesis, God told him right out of the chute, you're in charge. Merry Christmas, huh?
Well, the devil came along and he got Eve. He snookered her and he got her to take a bite of an apple that they were told not to touch. And Adam knew what was going on. He said that Eve was deceived, but Adam sat right there. He was with her when it happened and he watched it happen.
And he's the one that had been given the instruction.
And he was given the instruction of what to do. It wasn't her.
He was deceived. Adam sinned.
Right, exactly.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
And when Adam sinned, he turned the responsibility over. God told him he was going to die. Well, he wasn't going to die physically. He was going to die spiritually.
Yep.
So right at that moment that he did that, he spiritually died.
Yep.
We become a new creature when we get born again.
Yep.
He became a new creature in the exact opposite direction. He died spiritually. And what happened was God had given him the responsibility, but Adam turned and gave that authority to the devil.
Yep.
So at that point, right at that point, the devil became the authority of this earth, not God.
2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan is the temporary god of planet Earth. And so people ask us all the time, why is so much hell on Earth? Well, Satan's in charge. No, God's in charge. No, God's not allowed down here unless somebody asks him. That's what prayer is. If you don't ask God, Jesus said 8 times in the New Testament, you have not because you ask not. Well, why isn't God moving? Because you not ask him. Well, did God see me suffering? He knows exactly what you're going through, what you're feeling, but he cannot move if you don't ask him. Without faith, you don't move God. It takes faith. And so you got to ask God. Well, he ought to know. He does know, but he won't move unless you ask him. And that's the whole thing about intercessory prayer, a prayer of any kind. So when he lost it, Satan's in charge of this planet. That's why the news is on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hell's happening everywhere. And he said, where's God at? He's in heaven. They're singing to him. There's a laser light show going on. It's air conditioned. It's a real pretty place. He's not down here. That's why if you're on this planet, you got to get God involved by praying and saying the word of God and speaking the word of God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm. Call those things to be not as though they are. Why? I have to use my authority to resist the devil and to invite God. So It's a real simple system, but nobody understands it, seems like.
And I've never thought of this till Mike was just sharing, but just think about this for a second. Okay, they had everything in the garden, then they're kicked out, and now they're having to work. Their kids are killing each other, and now she's having pain in childbirth.
Pain in childbirth, thorns, thistles.
Can you imagine, seriously, her saying to Adam, why in the world didn't you stop me from eating that fruit? That probably was
I bet you she never said that.
Oh, no. Yeah, right.
But the Bible says there's not enough room to write all the pages down of everything got said.
Imagine
what got said.
Imagine their two boys.
I can imagine till the day they died it was still being said.
Cain and Abel were mad. I mean, well, at least, you know, Cain was, man. He's mad at his dad. Probably took it out on his brother.
You know?
That was like, Dad, yeah.
Remember when we had all of that?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Man, that had to be pretty rough. Ooh. But you have to remember that even like there are times where God had to do stuff all through the scriptures, like what you were saying. God needed men to pray and ask his permission to do it. One of the things that, like, before God was able to send Jesus, he had Abraham take his son Isaac up and was going to sacrifice him to God.
Yeah.
And Abraham lifted up his hand to, because he figured that, listen, if I kill my son, I know that God will be able to raise him back up. He had faith for that because God had already told him that he was going to give Abraham millions and millions of descendants. Yep. But he was willing to do that. And then God stopped him. He said, now I know that you would do it. But because of Abraham's obedience, it allowed God a step to allow to be able to send his son here and sacrifice his son, except Jesus went all the way through.
And
he actually died.
Yeah, Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 1. The family line of Mary, the family line of Joseph, go back to Abraham. Jesus was born legally. God didn't cheat. God never cheats. Number one, he had somebody that would trust him. That was Abraham. Well, it was through his family line, through your family line, my son come to the earth legally.
It was just like, well, Mary.
Yeah.
When the angel came to Mary and said, you know, you're going to have a son and stuff, he needed permission from her.
She said,
be it unto me exactly the way you said it. And if she hadn't responded that way, she hadn't accepted it, it would have never happened.
Yeah. That's right.
So we have to give God permission, and we do that through prayer.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. So,
hey, listen, guys, my husband and I are in a place where I just can't see us remaining married. Is God going to hold it against us if we decide to split up? We have an 8 and a 10-year-old, and can I answer this first?
I wish you would.
Since I have experienced this myself, I would say there's a reason that the Bible says God hates divorce.
Yes.
And it has to do with the pain that continues on and on and on. It doesn't stop. I divorced when my children were 9 and 13, and I can tell you, that today my son is 29 and married, and I don't know that he will ever have children, even though he would be a wonderful father.
He would be.
Because I think he's afraid of passing on that pain to somebody else. My daughter, thankfully, God broke that. She did marry the first guy she ever dated, but if she'd have ever had her heart broken, I promise you, she probably would have never gotten married because of the pain she'd already felt. So I can tell you, it is easier to work it out than to pass that on to the next generation. So they have to break it.
The devil lies to people. I'll just start all over. No, you don't. You don't ever start over.
Not with kids, especially.
No.
Yeah, especially with kids.
You're dragging so much stuff behind you, you cannot even imagine. So.
And most people, unfortunately, because you're rejected and hurt, jump quickly into another relationship without fixing the stuff that you dealt with, that you should have dealt with.
But my fault is my spouse's fault.
And I have to tell you, there's no way, I don't care what happens in a marriage, it is not completely one-sided.
No.
I had to face myself. I, for 12 years, did not date. And that's, people said to me, oh, you sacrificed for your kids and all. That was never sacrifice. I invested into my children. But I knew that if I were to jump in another relationship, I would continue a pattern of pain in their lives. And so I chose not to do that. Sometimes people do step into a better situation. Now, if you're in an abusive situation or your spouse is cheating on you or whatever, but if you think the grass is greener, you know, that's the
grass is greener because that farmer takes better care of his grass.
Yes.
It's just that simple.
And I'm going to tell you something. I'd made a decision that I would not date until my children were adults. I waited till they were out of college, and then I really thought I'd never would. But miraculously, Joe came.
A miracle happened.
It did. A miracle happened.
I came walking on the water.
Well, not quite on the water.
But, I was waiting.
Yeah. No. So, but anyway, I would encourage you to get counseling, to try to fall in love again, to try to work it out. God isn't, he's not going to hold it against you, but the fallout is enormous.
Well, Revelation 2 addresses the church at Ephesus, the seven churches, and the problem with the church at Ephesus, God was bragging on them. They got more brags than any of the other of six churches. I mean, what they'd done, how they'd sacrificed. But God said, but I have this one thing against you. And they said, I thought you loved us. Well, I do love you, but I have this one thing against you. He said, what is it? He said, you've left your first love.
Mm.
You've fallen out of love. Happens to married people all the time. You've fallen out of love. What do we need to do? We need to go back and repent and redo. You know, so repent and redo. And so I had this one guy at one seminar. I forgot where it was at. He said, I've learned to fall in love with my wife about 6 or 7 times a year. They've been married like some 40 years. Every year I fall in love with my wife all over again, several times a year. Redate, re-fall in love. It's not a one-time thing. You know, relationships don't stay the same. You got to invest time in it, put effort into it. So fall in love again. It can be done.
I tell you, I can't imagine. I couldn't imagine. I would not be one of those people who could get remarried just because I would be terrible. I would be like go into the next relationship so judgmental, watching for the very thing. Oh, I think I've seen this before.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you get like triggers. Like
twitch in the eye. Oh, we ain't going to have
that. I'm a newspaper editor from hell. You want to marry me, I guarantee you.
I would not be. Yeah, it wouldn't have went well with me. So
thank God for a great if you're wife. In that situation and you feel like there's no hope, there is hope. You just need to find a good
pastor. You need
pastor.
To talk to your pastor.
Yeah, that will help guide you through it.
Yes.
And surround yourself with positive people, not people that would encourage you to step away from the marriage. I've said to people before, I've gone out to lunch with women before and heard their friends talking about their spouses, and I said, you're setting yourself up to get divorced.
Shooting your foot
off. I do not allow people to dog my husband
no.
to me because that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It's besides, true. I think he hung the moon. How do I say it? That was not the King's
he
English.
He done hung the moon, I think. We just want to say thanks to everybody for watching this week.
Yes.
We're going to be back next Monday with another episode. Make sure to get your questions, and you can just mail at joemcgeeministries.com. You can private message us on Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook if you'd like. We don't mention names either way because you don't have to worry about that. We won't give that away no matter where it came from.
Yep.
Even if you give us permission, we usually don't do that.
Nope.
But you, everyone that's helping us by praying for this ministry, everyone that's helping us by supporting us financially, it is an immense help.
Yes, it is.
I tell you what, COVID's over, but things are, you know, churches in general, it shook everything, and things
been a slow move back.
Yeah, it is, and God's taking care of us. We're not going under, we're going over. But you being faithful to what God's told you to do, no matter where it's at, is good. But keep us in prayer. If God puts it on your heart to help financially, feel free to do that. But we love you, and we will see you next Monday.
Next Monday. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.